Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm beginning a brand new part of a series that I've been doing for over 2 months, talking about how to fulfill God's will. We've already dealt with the first five-part teaching on how to find God's will, and then we've already dealt with how to follow God's will. That was five parts. And now today I'm beginning a brand new section of this teaching, all related to God's will, on how to fulfill God's will. And I tell you, some people think that this is just, you know, kind of like splitting hairs. It's all talking about God's will. Why are you going into so much detail? It's one thing to find God's will, but then to follow it and do things God's way is a totally different thing. I use Moses as an example of that, who he knew God's will for his life, but he was going to do it in his own strength and under his own power, and he wound up costing himself 40 years in the wilderness and the children of Israel 30 years extra bondage. So it's one thing to find God's will. Then you got to do things God's way, follow God's will. And even after those two things, there are very few people that ever fulfill God's will. You know, I've heard a statistic. I'm not going to quote the source because it's secondhand and I'm not sure of the accuracy of it, but it'll illustrate a point I'm trying to make. And that is that this one ministry, they said that they did a survey among the ministers that were on their mailing list, and they said that that 80% of all ministers get out of the ministry within 5 years. Very few people last over 5 years. Only 20% last over 5 years. And then out of those 20% that are still in ministry after 5 years, 80% of those are at burnout. They're ready to quit. They're frustrated. They're struggling. So if you consider all of this and add it together, I forget the mathematics on it now, but I think that amounts to only 4% of all ministers are actively pursuing and fulfilling God's will for their life after 5 years. Some of them may still be in the trenches, but they're burnt out, they're ready to quit, they're struggling, they're depressed. There's only a very small percentage that ever actually fulfill God's will. There's a lot of people, and that's just talking about the ministry. I think that the same thing is true in marriage. And of course, you don't have to look very far to figure that out, that there's a lot of people that they get married and they stick with each other maybe for a year or two, or maybe some of them have even gone beyond the 5 years, but their marriage is on the rocks and they're burnt out and they're ready to quit. And there's just very few people that start something and see it to its conclusion and end up prosperous and really successful. You know, I could go on and on and on and just keep making that point, but hopefully every person listening to this program recognizes how many people have started but fall out along the way. You know, I'm not going to mention names, but I bet you many of you know who I'm talking about when somebody who had this worldwide ministry and was seen, this is back probably 20 plus years ago, was seen $8 million a month come into their ministry 20-something years ago, was on more television, reaching more people with the gospel than any person prior to them in the history of the world had ever done. And they gave it away so that they could go out with a prostitute to a hotel room. You know, that's a person, I believe, that found God's will, had followed it to a degree that they saw some things happen, but they didn't fulfill what God wanted them to do because they fell out along the way. They weren't able to finish it. You know, the Bible says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. That's quite a statement. Anybody can start, but it's not how you start, it's how you finish that counts. And so this third segment that I'm teaching about God's will is how to fulfill God's will. And it's assuming that you've already found out what God's will is, that you've already been following God's will and you're seeing fruit and success come in whatever area it is that God led you into. But then you've got to fulfill God's will. And I'm just doing a little bit of an introduction and summary. I'll go into much more detail as I go through this series. But let me share with you, this is something that I've learned that I think very few people see it this way. And I think it is really, really important. That, you know, when you are your most vulnerable, most susceptible to the devil, is not under pressure, not when you're facing failure, but it's when you're facing success. It's when you've already found out God's will. You've already followed it. You are beginning to see success, and it looks like everything in your life is going smooth. Did you know that you are your most vulnerable right then? Because when people are under pressure, when they're staring defeat in the face, most people, especially those that have made a commitment to the Lord and have any type of a relationship with God, most people will fall on their face and seek God in a crisis situation. But success has destroyed more people than pressure and failure ever have destroyed. I really believe that. You'll see these little cute sayings, you know, in Christian bookstores about when you squeeze a lemon, you know, you find out what comes out of it. Whatever comes out when you're crushed and pressed is what's really inside of you. And they're basically saying that it's under pressure that we find out what you're really like. I believe it's more accurate to say it's when all pressure is removed, we find out what you're really like. Because again, anybody with even a minimal commitment to the Lord will seek God in a pressure situation, but it's prosperity that destroys more people. And so as we're talking about how to fulfill God's will, I'm saying these things to emphasize how important it is to not only start and not only get going and build momentum, but then finish your race. Paul said, I have finished my race. I have run the course. I have fought a good fight. You need to see this thing through to the end. You know, I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard about stories of people that were leading a race and that they were going to win, but then they turned around and looked behind them to see where everybody else is. And the moment you look behind, you lose some of your momentum, and the person pulled ahead of them and they lost at the last second. They ran a great race until the end, and then they kind of started coasting. Then they changed doing the things that got them to that place of leadership. And they change and they fall behind and lose the race. This has happened to more people than I believe we could ever possibly count. And so I'm just trying to say it's important that you fulfill God's will. Not only find it and start, but then fulfill God's will. And I'm going to be teaching for a number of weeks some of the most important things that God has shown me about how to persevere, how to have longevity in ministry, how to fulfill what God has called you to do. And again, this isn't limited to ministers, but I'm going to be using a lot of things out of my personal experience that God has told me. And I believe you'll be able to make direct application to yourself, whether you're called into a ministry or not. But you've got to learn how to finish your course, not just start it, but how to finish it. And you know, I'm going to share something the very first thing I share is going to surprise some of you. You know, there's many people who watch me and they have been brought up in a legalistic type church where everything is based on what you do. And it's all about you got to go to church and you got to pray and you got to study the Word. And it's just do, do, do. And it puts so much effort into what you do. Then they hear me teach about the grace of God and that God loves us in spite of who we are and not because of who we are. And they find out that it's not about what they do. It's about what was done for them by Jesus. And so they come out of this legalistic performance mentality into the grace of God, and they experience freedom and liberty in the grace of God. And that's wonderful. Praise God. But you know what? It's like a pendulum. If you swing a pendulum, you can pull it over here to one extreme and let go, and it'll swing the other direction, which that's good. But then if you aren't careful, the natural tendency is for that thing to go past the midway point, past the perpendicular, and go right on past it over to another extreme over here. And there are some people that have been so liberated from the fact that it's not about how holy they are and whether they do everything right, but they have a God that loves them by grace. There's people that have taken that and they have gone past what is correct over here into an extreme that now it doesn't matter if I study the Word. It doesn't matter if I pray. It doesn't matter if I live holy. It doesn't matter what I do. God loves me. So, the very first thing I'm going to say about how to fulfill God's will for your life is this principle that's listed in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. It says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And some people are going to take this and thought, well, I thought you preached grace. I do. God loves me independent of me. God gave me a call to the ministry and told me things to do, not because I deserved it, not because I'm the best qualified, none of those things. It was totally the grace of God. And it's the grace of God that has led me to do what I'm doing. But you know what? God has an end result that He wants to take me and this ministry and the people that I minister to. He has a goal in front. We're headed towards it. But I'm telling you that if I don't obey what God tells me to do, I'm not going to reach that end result. Now, that has nothing to do with God's will for my life. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. It says that in Romans chapter 11, verse 29. The things that God called me to do aren't going to change. And it's not based on whether I'm good or not. God has a purpose for my life. But if I take His liberty that He's given me in this grace, and if I don't study the Word, and if I don't pray, and if I don't seek Him, and if I get to where I think that I'm exempt from the regular rules, you know, I could mention some sports figures that recently have been exposed and they were living in adultery and doing things and it's hurt their careers. And they said that they thought that they were exempt from the rules that everybody else was. When they apologized for it, that was exactly the words that they said, that they just thought they were exempt. They were different than everybody else. See, if I got to thinking that way and thought, well, I don't really have to seek God, and I'm going to preach to other people that they need to do it, but I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to pray, and I'm not going to do these things, Satan would take advantage of that. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Satan is going to try and derail you from fulfilling God's will. Even if you have found it out, even if you have started following God's will, he is going to try and stop you from fulfilling God's will. There is a demonic warfare going on in the life of every single person. And if you say, oh, I don't believe that, that doesn't mean that you're exempt from the war. It just means you're destined to lose it because you aren't on guard. You aren't looking for your enemy. The Scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You do have an enemy that's out seeking to devour you. And if you aren't aware of it, it just means that that gives him extra inroad, extra ability into your life. And so you've got to recognize that you have to obey. You have to be willing and obedient before you see the fulfillment of what God has put into your life. And some people see this as a contradiction. I was talking about how much God loves you independent of your performance. Your performance isn't what obtains the things of God. And now here I am talking about how you have to be willing and obedient. And people say you're flip-flopping. You're contradicting yourself. No, there is a perfect balance between these two. God's callings are by grace, and they are without repentance, Romans 11, 29. But I have a part to play in this, and if I allow the devil to have inroad, I become his servant to whom I obey. If I get into selfishness, if I get into just indulging my flesh, and if I don't seek God, I am giving place to Satan. And this enemy who's going about seeking whom he may devour will devour me if I allow him to do it. And so obedience, acting properly, living a holy life, is essential for you fulfilling God's will in your life. It's not essential for you pleasing God. What pleases God is your faith. It says in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. God accepts us on the basis of who we are. He looks in our spirit, our born-again spirit, and accepts me based on who I am in the spirit. And so that's not going to change. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. And if I go out and live in sin or just lose my zeal and quit seeking God with my whole heart, that will affect my flesh. It will affect my physical body. I could give Satan inroad into me with sickness, with disease, with things like that. I can allow depression and discouragement and defeat. I could quit seeking God and my marriage could fall apart and I could suffer the grief and the pain of a broken marriage. I could hurt the ministry in all of those ways and do things. But you know what? God would still love me because He sees me in the Spirit. God loves me and bases His relationship with me by grace, by what He's done. But does that mean that I'm free to not seek God? Not at all. I could do it in the sense that God would still love me. You know, let me just take this example that I used at the beginning of our program today. I didn't mention the name, but there was a minister who was bringing in over $8 million a month 20-something years ago, reaching more people through television than any person prior to him in the history of the world. And then he went out with a prostitute, and his ministry's collapsed. He sold off assets. He's diminished, decreased. But did you know that God still loves him? Did you know that the gifts that God gave him are still there? Did you know that this guy is still a minister and he's still an effective minister? And he has now gone back on television, and I don't know the exact stats, but man, it's just a fraction of what he used to do. I think I'd be safe in saying it's 100th, maybe 1,000th the influence that he used to have. God still loves him. And you know what? I haven't personally been in his meetings, but I can see it. It would be consistent with Scripture that if he goes out and holds a meeting, I believe people still get born again through him. I believe people still be baptized in the Holy Spirit. People still be healed. People can still be blessed. God can flow through him because God doesn't use us because we are usable, because we are holy, because we deserve it. He uses us because of grace. And so I can understand that God is still using this man, and I wish him well. But you know what? He has not fulfilled his course, and I don't see in the natural how he ever could regain and fulfill the things that God originally planned for him because he wasn't willing and obedient. He, in his confession, got on television, and I heard him say this out of his own mouth. He said, "I thought I could do anything." He didn't think that the rules applied to him. And success destroyed this man. And now he's still trying to serve God, and God will use him to a degree, but not to the degree that he was going to use him. And so, see, there's a balance between this. I think that God still loves this man. I don't think that God has imputed those sins unto him. I believe that this man has repented. I believe that God's forgiven him. I believe that he's in right standing with God. He's going to have crowns in heaven, which there are Christians that will never forgive this guy. And they think, well, there's probably people taking offense at what I say right here about, no, how could a man like this ever be blessed? Because of grace. God loves him. I believe God will answer his prayers, help him financially and do different things. I still believe that God's grace is the same towards him. But this man yielded himself to Satan, the author of the sin that he committed, and because of it, Satan derailed him. This man has lost his influence, and as a matter of fact, if I was to call his name, there are many of you that it's just nearly synonymous with failure. And there's a lot of people today that, man, when they hear this guy's name, they just go the other direction. They don't want to hear anything he say. What does a guy that's done something like this have to do, have anything to say into my life? And he's lost his influence. He's a fraction of what he used to be. See, God is still the same towards him, but this man allowed Satan to come in and steal, kill, and to destroy in his life. And there is a balance here. You have to be willing and obedient before you eat the good of the land, before you fulfill God's will for your life. So there is a balance between understanding that it's not based on your performance. God loves you in spite of who you are, not because of who you are. That is absolutely true. But does that mean that you don't have to seek God? That you don't have to do what's right? Nope, there's a balance. You have to work. And I'm going to bring this out more in our programs tomorrow, but over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul said that it was by the grace of God that he was who he was. He credited the grace of God. He says, I'm not even worthy to be an apostle. But then he turned right around and he says, but God's grace wasn't in vain. I labored more abundantly than you all. See, most people just think those are mutually exclusive. If you're laboring, then that means that you aren't trusting God's grace. No, you can trust God's grace 100%, but then you also need to labor so that Satan isn't going to have an inroad into your life, so that you aren't going to give him that kind of an access to you. And if you don't balance these two, if you get overbalanced in either one, if you get to where it's all about what you do, well, then you are trying, in a sense, to earn the things of God. That's not grace. But if you get over here to the point that you are just saying, well, it's up to God, que sera, sera, it's not my performance, so I think I'll go out and live in sin, I think I'll quit seeking God, I think I'll quit trying hard, you're going to fail too. There needs to be a balance. You need to be giving it everything you've got and recognize that your efforts don't make God love you more or anoint you more or use you more. It has nothing to do with how God feels about you. But your effort over here is so that you can keep the lid on the devil, so that you can keep the door shut, so that you aren't going to yield unto him. You know, this, I've been using ministry as an example, but this applies in business or anything. You could be a businessman that God blessed and gave you this business, and this business grows and grows and grows. And so you are over here diligent doing all of these things. But then as you get really prosperous, it just seems like that you can do no wrong. And so you don't come into the office anymore. You don't check your accounts. You no longer look at expenses. You no longer balance that against your income, your revenue, and you just quit doing the things that got you to this position of blessing, and you go out and start drinking and carousing and gambling, throwing your money away. And you know what? Even though God blessed that business and this business was prosperous, and God hasn't changed, God's not the one that punishes you, you just allow the devil to come in and steal from you all that God gave you. Same thing can apply in marriage. You could be put together supernaturally by God. God could lead you, and you could have the perfect mate, and things could be going so good. But a marriage, you know, it's not just like, honey, I told you when I married you, I love you, and if anything ever changes, I'll let you know. Man, that's not how it works. You have to continue in that relationship, and it doesn't matter if you're 30 or 40 or 50 years into that marriage. You still need to be telling your mate that I love you, and you still need to be ministering to them, and you still need to be honoring them and preferring them. You can't just go off of what happened. And you could have the best marriage, you could have a perfect marriage, but it takes maintenance for you to make it work. And if you quit maintaining, and if you just all of a sudden decided you'd go on a year cruise by yourself, and you aren't going to be around them, and you quit sending them any money, and you quit taking care of them and thinking about them, and I guarantee you there's going to be opportunity for Satan to come in and destroy and stop that marriage from fulfilling what God intended it to be. That doesn't mean that God's the one that's punishing you. God's not the one that's doing this, but you have to be willing and obedient before you see the right results. I'm beginning to share about how to fulfill God's will, and I think that this is really going to help you. So tune in again tomorrow as we continue this series, and also listen to our announcer as he advertises this brand new album we have out entitled How to Fulfill God's Will.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Fulfill God's Will was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD, as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Learn to Obey, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center camp meeting September 12th through the 17th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center, October 3rd. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th, in Buxton, Derbyshire, in England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 11th through the 13th.
I'd like to give you an invitation to join me on the 12th through the 17th of September in Charlotte, North Carolina. This is, I think, the 23rd year that I'll be doing Freedom Christian Center camp meeting. Pastor Dean Melton there is the pastor, and all of the people at Freedom Christian Center are just some of my best friends. We have a great time. It's under a brush arbor. It goes from Sunday morning through Friday night. There's a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then all evening services. It's just a great time. The praise and worship is great. And if you haven't got to meet Pastor Dean Melton, you've missed one of life's great pleasures. Man, he's a character. You will love it. So remember, September the 12th through the 17th, Freedom Christian Center in Charlotte, North Carolina.
My dad was a Southern Baptist preacher. And he committed suicide when I was 5 years old. And I didn't really understand his death at the time, but I know I kind of got mad at God. Got really mad at God, actually. I decided that I was going to run from God, and I was never going to let anybody have that much control to hurt me that much ever again.
If God's expecting you to bear all things, God Himself will bear all things. If God is expecting you to love, believe at all times, then you know what? God will believe in you at all times, regardless of how many stupid things we do.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today.